Let's sit. Let's learn. Let's evolve. Let's talk.
No more whispering in our mind.
Today is Let's Talk Black Excellence with your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to stop to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast from today, here in the west end of Brisbane. Also pay my respects to elders past and present. And shout out to all the TOs right across the country where our program goes out to. It's deadly to have your company. And welcome to Friday's edition of Let's Talk Black Excellence for another week. It's great to have your company as well. Our guest today joins us from the National Indigenous Culinary Institute, a national leader in connecting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander aspiring chefs with some of the country's best restaurants. Welcome to the show, Brother Craig Quartermain.
Okay, Dan, I feel a little bit like I'm impersonating excellence by being here, but we push for it.
That's totally right. It's great to have you here. As we always do, can we start with your mob, your country, where you come from?
My father is a Wagalkai Yungar from Western Australia in the southwest, and my mother is a Bunjaman Yamaji from Western Australia in the middle. Just say it's a big place.
It is a big place. And you're not too unfamiliar with being in a radio studio in a past life?
Man, I'm getting flashbacks. Yungar radio days back there. Shout out to everybody back there. Wajak country. But, bit of a media career as well. But it all started at Yungar radio. Never kind of forget that.
Well, shout out to the mob. Yungar mob, yeah.
Have I even seen Mistaken, the NITV crews getting around?
Yeah.
It's all coming back to me.
It is, rah. All right, the National Indigenous Culinary Institute. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, we're an entrepreneurial pursuit coming out of Sydney. Been running out of there for about 12 years. Brilliant organization. Essentially, it's a philanthropic pursuit. Somebody who worked in hospitality for a very long time just realized that there weren't enough black faces, weren't enough black fellas representing being involved in something. You got to think about it. When tourists or anybody comes to a restaurant or partakes in a hotel, and there's just no black faces. There's not enough Indigenous influence.
Why is that? Have you found out why the mobs are underrepresented in the industry?
It's just a microcosm of absolutely every other industry. You know, we're not represented everywhere else because of a lot of systemic issues.
Sure.
And also, I started a chef's apprenticeship a very, very long time ago. It's actually a little depressing when I think about it. nearly 20-odd years. Actually, is 20-odd years.
20 years, wow.
And it was never the priority, you know. You come from such a working-class background. You go get a job, and a chef was a bit of a flashy sort of flimsy.
Yeah.
You're going to wear white all day. And
yeah,
you're going to
get screamed at.
Yeah, there's It was just never something that was instilled in myself. So I can only imagine that other kids, Aboriginal kids from around the country and Torres Strait Islander kids, it's never been taught or brought up. We love food.
We do love food. And you know, it seems odd because when you throw back to the old days, our ancestors, you know, hunter-gatherers and you know, that
necessity. There is a bit of a breakup, though. Yeah. I do get there's cooking en masse for all your family, and there's, you know, the way we eat is all together, big servings, and everybody helps himself. It's a communal thing. Cooking for strangers, not so much. I get that disconnect. Yeah. I do understand it. But
That makes sense now, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, as far as a passion for food, you got to remember, like, while we did start out, eating great and cooking using techniques and having a passion for it, there's also that real horrible patch where you're just given a sack of flour, a bit of salt and pepper and some tea. And that was our culinary background. And I had this discussion a lot. There are a lot of people in the industry asking, why aren't there more chefs? And because we were never kind of encouraged for a long period of time. And then in the last 20 years, all of a sudden it's, oh, where are all the Aboriginal chefs? Still trying to figure out that there's an industry there. And that's what NICI, we're trying to abridge that. So the National Indigenous Culinary Institute, essentially, we have partners. Like, We have alignments with Rockpool and Sydney, like elite restaurants, hatted restaurants. And
what is a hatted restaurant for those?
A really good one. No, it's a hatted restaurant is basically a grading system where you are awarded for how great your restaurant is, and you get a hat and multiple hats. And we are aligned with some of the best restaurants in the world, let alone Australia. And Queensland, we've just bridged out from New South Wales into Queensland, and we've got a lot of great restaurants here too. The best part, when I was doing my apprenticeship, there was, and I don't want to be that old guy like back in my day, but there was that period where apprenticeships was all about bullying. You know, teacher, like your chef would whoop you, or, you know, there'd be a lot of hazing. It wasn't the most welcoming industry. So if you got through, it was great. It was you took your lumps, whereas now it's incredibly supportive. There's great systems in place. The chefs are all looking to recruit and pass on their knowledge and teach and actually create amazing chefs. But I can't, don't get it twisted. Like, this is a hard industry. And that's what we are looking to overcome. There is a lot of reasons why, like every other industry, Indigenous people do not feel welcome.
Yes.
But we are overcoming that. My role is to support, actually kind of recruit now, while we're here. And thank you again for the opportunity to spread the word. But essentially, if there's somebody out there with a passion for cooking, we want to have a chat because we can unlock this potential. We can find you a role. We can get you in an apprenticeship. We can get you trained by the best people in the country and get you a job. We definitely can get you a job. That's not the thing, but it's about finding that right fit. I mean, it's a bit of a problem in our community that a lot of Aboriginal people, you know, people don't want to ever mention it, but big organizations get paid money to have us on their books.
Yes.
They get government subsidies. And so, you know, and obviously that's not the purest form of a reason to recruit somebody. You know, you just herd like sheep and then farm us out when you're done with us. We have put in a lot of effort to make sure that doesn't happen. I am shocked when I go into these restaurants and see the support systems that are in place. There's a lot of people are more aware about the issues that a lot of Aboriginal people have to overcome to enter these workforces and places. And plus, it's a hard job in the first place. So we're under no illusions that it is going to be difficult, but I can't imagine there's ever been a better time to become a chef or get into the hospitality industry. You've got the Olympics coming. The world is smaller travel-wise. And, I mean, a celebrity chef, man, they're the new rock stars.
They are, aren't they?
It's kind of it's a bit depressing when I think about it.
And it's a really rewarding thing to be able to provide for your family and you know, cook a nice healthy meal or something a bit more fancy. I'll tell you, you know, me as a young man, I spent my time in a fair few kitchens finishing school, and while it was one of the toughest jobs I've ever had, and while it was, you know, pretty cutthroat and you're getting, it's hot and, you know, everything's happening a million miles an hour, geez, you walk out of there and you feel like a million bucks, hey, like, yeah, it's a really rewarding profession.
There is, there's an artistic angle to it, and then if that's not your bag, then you've got the legit hard work, the actual achievement, and watching an elite chef do their thing, and you're allowed to share that space. I gravitate towards talent. I love watching it, and to watch an elite chef, like some of our clients and some of our chefs, it's ridiculous. It's awe inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that will watch somebody on a sports field and be blown away, and that's great and amazing. But there's also levels to everything, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people, and a lot of people don't even realize they may want to be a chef. But if you have some sort of a passion, we'd love to hear from you at an ICI.
Some of the tips and tricks I learned over 20 years ago, I'm still using today, and I was, you know, basically just washing kitchen,
it's a life skill.
Washing dishes and making sauces and things like that. It's quite an empowering thing as well.
It's funny that you mentioned it. Ever since my apprenticeship, anytime I see a stack of dishes, I don't even blink. Nothing's going to intimidate me when it comes to washing dishes. And there are people, there's nothing in it. But yes, you're right. Even if, and there's no pressure for anyone, you don't have to enter one of our courses and complete Cert 2 or whatever, and then go on and become Gordon Ramsay or Jean-Pierre. You don't have to do any of that sort of stuff. You just have to get through and see what you want out of it, because we can find a placement for anybody. And once you get past that point, you're right, you will have life skills forever. Mm. There is a real encouraging aspect. We haven't quite gotten to the point where I would like to, as far as we wanted to have classrooms of apprentices coming through. We're just not there yet. We're still building up on it. But the number of women, you know, the kids have just left home, you know, completed school, and they've got this time to themselves, and like, what do I want to do? They don't all want to become elite chefs, but I've had maybe 7 or 8 women get in touch, and they just want to start their own business. And we can help them get the qualifications just to do that and their skills. And that's a huge part of what we do as well. So we're very malleable. If you're looking for an option, if you're looking to go in that particular area, if you have wanted to start a cafe, you know, that is just something. I love going, and there's one or two in every capital city in Australia. I'm pretty sure every time I land, I make sure I go to the Black Cafe, wherever it is. And it is empowering. It's a huge step in another direction. Just, we need to get across every industry, and this is me trying to help in the hospitality industry.
Funny you should mention Gordon Ramsay, perhaps the most famous chef in the world. And we, you know, we see him as a bit of a scary character, you know, yelling, throwing things around, carrying on a bit.
Especially now that he's done that stuff to his face.
Yeah. How do you prepare? You know, is it that cutthroat? Is it that volatile?
Back in the day. Mm. Used to absolutely be, and probably still is at certain places, for sure.
How do you prepare a young person, especially mob, for that type of environment?
It goes into the training. And that is a big part of what my role is. The training will give you the skills to, at least when you are asked to do something, you'll know what they're asking of you. Little things like that. Mm. Anytime anyone in a kitchen loses their temper, it's generally just a bad communication, you know, whatever it is, a misunderstanding. I've never come across a chef who's just a bully, but I have come across ones that are perfectionists. And if you get in the way of that perfection, you better sidestep. But how would we prepare a student? I would not give them any illusions about what they're stepping into. You know, you're going to have, this is going to be expected of you, but we're going to give them the skills. You know, little things like, I didn't even know how to bleach my uniform when I started. I didn't have that. Like, you get taught the dress standards, you have your uniforms, you'll get given the right equipment and put in the right place. Like, that is a whole part of my role, is supporting people and making sure that they're equipped to enter those workplaces. So, not saying you won't have difficulties, but you will be as prepared as anyone who's ever entered a kitchen, and that's all you can really do. But also, got enough experience where I'll assess the individuals to make sure that they're ready. We won't just put people in situations, because it can be intense. And there are had a couple of parents who've got young children, and they can't work 2 6-hour shifts. You know, that's not possible. So we find the workplace where they can. We are trying to set things up as best we can to get the best results.
Why are the kitchen spaces so high energy, high paced? You know, lots of things flying around. Is it the time factor? Is it a combination of all of those things? Perfection. And
do you get cranky if you have to wait for your lunch?
Yes, I do.
Well, there you go. That's,
I do.
That's generally it. It's the outside pressure. Mm-hmm. But there is a time factor, but there's also, again, once you get to the kitchens that we are going to be placing people in, it's a quality thing. It's you are expected to be elite. There is levels to this. We are aiming for the top. We do have places on other levels, probably maybe not that high or as demanding, but it's all aspects. Australia doesn't really, I mean, actually, Australia don't muck around when it comes to food. We have some of the best chefs in the world, some of the best restaurants in the world, but a huge portion of our community in Australia just go to the pub. They don't have that palate, that it has these expectations. So you can kind of hide from it. Everyone's happy to queue up, order off a blackboard, all that sort of stuff. But once you get into, no, this is the evening, we are spending X amount of dollars, there's expectations, and that's where the pressure comes from. Mm-hmm. Like, you drop in a few hundred/thousands dollars on a meal, and it's subpar, I think you're every right to get a little cranky.
For sure. Craig Quartermain is our guest on Let's Talk Black Excellence for this week. Craig's from, of course, the National Indigenous Culinary Institute. Wanted to talk about, you know, produce and in particular, you know, the resurgence or I suppose the appetite, pardon the pun, for native foods.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge at the moment and it's only going to be, you know, exponentially grow with, as you say, the Olympics just around the corner and people from around the world wanting to taste what the mob are cooking.
There's an environmental aspect to it. I hate to say trendy, but food can be trendy. It does go in styles and stuff. A huge aspect of modern chefing is, they say, nose to tail or top to tail. Mm. Use all of everything, whether it's the vegetable or the animal. Use it all and be environmentally conscious. Try not to leave as big a carbon footprint and also be economical. You know, you don't just cut off one part of something and throw away the rest. You utilize everything. And it's kind of crazy to think the imported use of products and we've had all these amazing flavors and foods here for thousands of years. And now we're just catching up and realizing this is the best way to go. And so, yeah, native fruits, meats, game, you know, it's all becoming relevant. And it's crazy that they've been here so long, but there's so many people in Australia that are going to have to be trained to appreciate these flavors, you know, and, you know, we know the people, right? You know, but, I went and winked and caught myself on camera. There's a palate that needs to be trained to appreciate native foods, and it is coming around, and it looks spectacular, and it does taste amazing, and it's uniquely Australian, and it's just another aspect to offering an authentic Australian cuisine style, and we're a part of that, and we can absolutely be not just a part of it, but leaders in it, take over it.
Absolutely.
We'll take it back.
Take it back, yeah. let's fast forward then 10 years down the track. You know, what's your future vision for blackfellas represented in this space, in the fine food space?
All right, I'm going to speak on my behalf because I do have colleagues in Melbourne and in Sydney, and they all have their own vision. Mine is to, right now, we recruit people into other courses run by training centres like the Institute of Culinary Excellence and TAFE, and they get their qualifications, then they go into restaurants. At this point, that's our system. And the dream, the hope would be for one day, we don't have to go out recruiting. We have people seeking us out, enrolling in our schools that are run with Indigenous chefs doing the training. You know, they've been through the system. They've gotten in 10 years' time. That'd be amazing. We have that courses being run by Indigenous chefs who have world experience, and they are creating the next wave, and then they go off and not only train in restaurants around the world, but then start their own restaurants. That's the dream, to have a head chef, you know, walking around, not touching it. That's the thing. Well, people don't realize head chefs, executive chefs, they don't touch anything. Once they get to a point, they just walk around and make sure everything's perfect. Mm. And that's the dream, is to get... And I'm in the Queensland base. We are just starting, but we do have some young stars coming through NICI down in New South Wales, who are, and in Melbourne, both from Queensland, by the way. But they are down there, and they're on their way. They're on their way, and it's very encouraging. So that's the hope for in 10 years' time.
Yeah, deadly bros. What sort of qualifications or experience do mob need?
None. That's the amazing part. It's extremely accessible, and even things like there may be the odd occasion where the TAFE or something we send you to might require you to have a blue card because it's near a school, but that's very rare. Even people with backgrounds where they're worried that they may have a police record or something like that, hospitality is very open to anybody that, you know, is willing to apply and try. And don't, you know, there are casinos and hotels and stuff. They'll have, you know, if you can basically pass a job interview, in most places you can be get in to our courses. It's just a question of whether or not you're going to be committed and put in the effort. But no, we'll give everyone a crack. You just need to put your best effort forward.
All right. Well, you've dispelled a lot of the sort of myths around kitchens. You know, people screaming at you, yelling at you.
We're trying to.
And I think that's probably the biggest hurdle, really, for a lot of mob. So, look, how can mob get involved, bro?
Check us out, National Indigenous Culinary Institute. We do have an Instagram page, and we do have a Facebook page. And my email is just craig@nici.org.au, and we're gonna pop up this interview and put it out on socials. We do find there will be pamphlets, there will be job agencies. If you are seeking it and you hear this, yeah, look us up on socials. This is National Indigenous Culinary Institute, NICI. Pretty easy to find these days. If you can do a Facebook post, you can find us.
All right. We'll share all those links as well on the Catch Up Radio on our website. So if you're listening to this online, scroll down for the links. If you're listening on the radio, jump on and check it out afterwards. Craig, brother, final question for you. What is your favorite thing to cook?
All right, so it's a bit of a trick. Most people get a bit extravagant, and but if I ever want to impress anybody, mine is scrambled eggs.
Hey?
Scrambled eggs with prosciutto and truffle oil, and everyone don't get it. I know people are like, eggs? You haven't had my eggs.
I want your eggs.
Yeah.
Well, you want to go in the kitchen after this, and you can teach me a few things.
Done.
Craig Quartermain from the National Indigenous Culinary Institute. Thanks so much for being our guest on Let's Talk today, bro.
Okay, mind you.
No more whispering in our mind.
Let's Talk, Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. on Triple A Murray Country, the National Indigenous Radio Service, and iHeartRadio. You can catch up on AAA.org.au. Proudly supported by the Community Broadcast Foundation.